Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode Wednesday night. I'm feeling great right now. It's been a great week so far. We're about to get into it. In the UFC / MMA world, it's been a great week so far. There's a lot of talking points to get to, so I'm excited about it, and we're definitely going to get into them. One thing that I want to bring up is that and this is more of the overall point, is that, first of all, UFC 280 was an incredible event. It was pretty much what I expected it would be, and possibly even better. The only downfall of it was that I was really hungover trying to watch UFC, and it was early on Saturday as well, which actually I would have been much more awake if I could have watched it. You know, if they were in Vegas or New York or they're on Eastern time, something like this, and I would have been able to recover during the day, you know, I would have been good to watch it for like a 10 p.m. main card or something like that. But, you know, I wasn't able to do that. And it was first thing in the morning on Saturday, so I was hurting. bro. I'm not even sure I want to go. I don't know if I want to go all the way into it, but we'll keep it to that. I was hurting bad on Saturday. And I was so slumped watching those fights, man. Like, I wouldn't say I was lifeless, but I was definitely laid back, bro. Like, I was cool, man. My boy got the espresso machine at the house. You know, he made me an espresso. I don't know if it was the cappuccino with the espresso shot in it, or it was something like that. Cappuccino with the two espresso shots. It was something, but it was bomb. And I didn't even drink anything with the card. I didn't drink anything that Saturday, period. I was done. And because, yeah, Friday night was a movie. So, yeah, that. But either way, I didn't have the energy that I probably could have had for UFC 280. But either way, those fights were dope, man. And I know a lot of people on MMA Twitter, some of the people that we follow as well, I have seen saying that, like, the event sucked and – you know, all this, like, and I know they're saying that because of, like, the outcomes of the fight. They didn't get the outcomes that they wanted. And I know both title fights were kind of short, so you could make that point as well. I mean, you had two second-round stoppages. You know, that was what you had for the title fights. And so you could say, you know, that was kind of short compared to the fights you might have wanted or expected. But either way, I don't know, man. It happens sometimes. I mean, you get these fights where you find out that guys aren't really as closely matched as you might have thought, and then you end up with these early nights, you know what I mean? That's really what it is, like, two guys go in there, and it's like, you think that, like, all right, this is the highest of this division, these are really, you know, these guys are so closely matched, these are the two best, but then you get in there, and sometimes you realize that the two guys weren't really as close in skill as you thought, you know, and then you end up with these short, you know, you end up with these outcomes, and then people saying the event sucked, and the event definitely didn't suck, man. That was a dope event, and I'm very happy with it. And what did you think about it, though? Lee, what's up, bro? What did you think about it?
Oh, man, I thought the event was good. It was definitely probably one of the best events of the year. I didn't think it was bad. It was just some of the matchups just didn't live up to what we thought they would live up to. But at the same time, it's the fight game. You never know what's going to happen. And people normally say that when the people that they pick to win loses. Oh, man, this card sucked, la, 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 la. The card didn't suck, man. The card was a good card. There were some questionable things that happened in the car during the fight, and we definitely gonna get into that. And there were some questionable things that happened after the car. So, but I think one thing people have to keep in mind, Keys, and I know that in this day and age, people forget how to have fun. These cars are for our entertainment, man. It ain't nothing that you should be out here losing sleep over, or, you know, going on Twitter and, you know, meme offering everybody on Twitter that disagree with you. These fights are for our entertainment. Have fun. Enjoy them. And overall, the car was good. I mean, it was action packed. I mean, there were a lot of decisions on the prelims, but outside of that, the car was action packed to me. You know, the matchups end up being, you know, what they were, and me and Key's gonna talk about that. So, you know, every car is gonna have its flaws. And every car is gonna have one fight that you're gonna be talking about to your friends, like on Monday or on Twitter or on Sunday, like, hey man, did you see this fight? Oh my God, man! So yeah, it was a lot. It was something for everybody that happened on this card.
There definitely was. And you know what's, and to go deeper into that, you know, the funny thing is that. I didn't see the prelims. Just to get some background, I didn't see any of the prelims. I wasn't able to get, you know, I went to the next town over to go watch the fights. My boy was hosting the fights this time. So most of these cards lately, I've been hosting the fights at my apartment, but my boy hosting them. But I couldn't get in front of the TV until the first fight of the main card. That was the first fight I saw. So as far as the prelims, like, I'm seeing on Twitter earlier, like, that day I wasn't there yet, like people saying, oh, like there hasn't been a finish yet or something like that. I can't really speak on that. But as far as the pay-per-view and the main card itself, I'll say this, is that the first fight I saw, Chewy Kagan and Fiero, that was the absolute snooze. That did not belong on the main card, and they reminded us why. That did not belong on the main card. UFC, that was a terrible decision. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm really not a fan of the women's divisions at this stage in my fight fanism. I really don't care. I'm not a fan anymore. I used to be, but I'm really not. I mean, at a time where Rose Namajunas, I used to like to watch and root for, she's even putting on snooze fest nowadays. And the champion and that division, you know, just won the belt off of snooze performance. So I'm really not a fan of the women's divisions anymore, because these women do not engage. You know, they take pride in this, like, silly point fighting that they do. And then they have – so it's just an absolute snooze. And it's honestly – it's kind of a slap in the face to the real fighters who put on fight of the night performances. I mean, are you telling me that Bilal Muhammad didn't just get a stand-in TKO over a formerly undefeated guy in Sean Brady? Are you saying that Bilal Muhammad didn't deserve to get a look on the pay-per-view card? You're saying that he didn't get to get a look. He didn't deserve a look over that snooze that they just put on. Is that what you're telling me? Because it's incorrect. If that's what you're telling me, it's completely wrong. And you could call me what you want to call me, but I'm not a fan of the women's divisions anymore. I'm kind of done. It's just all decision fights, and they don't engage. They love point fighting, and they don't even do fun point fighting. It's not even the type of point fighting that is enjoyable to watch. Volkanovski, you know, wins by decision a lot. You know, Max Holloway would win by decision. You know, a lot of these guys, but they are fun to watch even in a decision. Robert Whittaker wins by decision a lot. But when's the last time he put on a boring fight? So there's a difference. You can have a decision fight and it be one of the best fights I've ever seen. One of the best fights I've ever seen is Whittaker and Romero, too, and that was a decision fight. And that's probably the best fight I've ever seen. Excuse for these women, you know what I'm saying, to put on these horrible fights. What is the excuse? So that's a point that we could get to in a second. But first of all, yeah, that fight was trash. They both lost, in my opinion. They both lost. Onward from that point, congrats to Bilal Muhammad. That's my boy. I've been talking about him on the show since he was – I remember watching him when he was unranked. And you could go back and find the episodes where I was talking about Bilal Muhammad. I used to tell my boys and stuff back in, like, 2017, like, yo, this dude Muhammad's a beast. So shout out to him. The two decisions, yo, I'm finished right here. The two decisions were bangers. Gamrot fight decision, but that was a banger. And then you had, what was the other thing? The two title fights.
And O'Malley.
If it was all decision, they wouldn't like it, you know, but see where you have a lot of finishes on the main card, they still don't like it. So I think some fans are just not happy with anything.
Exactly.
Not happy with anything, because two title fights, both finishes. If those were both decisions, they would have said, oh, there's no finishes. But now that you have mostly finishes on the main card, now you're saying that the event was still trash. So I don't know what these fans really want.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. But I did have a question about Bilal Muhammad, and I'll ask that later. But I'm with you, Keys. We talked about it Friday. We talked about it Wednesday. Fight placement is everything when you're doing a pay-per-view card. I thought Chookagian and Fiorot should have been the co-main event on the prelims. I would have moved Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady as the first fight on the pay-per-view. And I probably would have had the Ozdemir Krylov fight as the main event for the prelims because those are two names. Normally, what you want to do is you want to have a good fight leading from the prelims to the pay-per-view. You want to go from the prelims on a high straight into the pay-per-view on a high. I left the Bilal Muhammad fight and was immediately lost interest in the Chookagian and Fiorot fight. Even though the Fiorot girl, she's actually pretty good. I like her skills. I like her heart. She was pressing forward, but the person she was fighting, Chookagian, she just doesn't come as an action-packed fighter, so she actually made the fight more boring because of her fighting style. But fight placement is everything when you are having a big event like this. And, yeah, the UFC dropped the ball on this one. But, Keys, I got to get to this point. TJ Dillashaw, come on, bro. You got a separated shoulder. You say you separated your shoulder in April. Why would you still try to go in there and fight a guy that you know is going to wrestle you, that's going to take you down, and your shoulder isn't strong enough to support your weight? Bruh, you could have let somebody else go into that position and fight Sterling. Marlon Vera could have went in there and did that, man. It's like you actually took somebody's opportunity away because of your pride. And from here on out, the UFC will probably never give you another title shot after you did this because you look so bad. So, Keith, I was so disappointed at TJ, man. It's like he told the referee in the back before the walkout, so when they was getting the rules, that, hey, my shoulder's going to pop out, but it'll go back in. Really? What about if Sterling put you in the armbar? Then what? Man, Keys, I was so disappointed, bro. I know a lot of people, a lot of people wanted to see Dillashaw come back, you know, because he was a great champion when he was champ earlier, and then, you know, he got caught. But, man, him just coming back and putting himself back in his position, I was rooting for him. But, man, he dropped the ball on this, and it made him look so bad, bro. And like he said, he held up the division, man. And for what? You could have took a back seat, let somebody else for it, got healthy, and you would have been right back in the title picture. Man, what was your thoughts, Keys? I was just pissed.
Yeah, I thought, because I didn't really know what the situation was until he did the post-fight interview. I wasn't really sure what was going down. I mean, I know the commentary was saying something, like something was off, but I didn't know until he really went into it and confirmed it. But when he was like, saw him getting dominated in the fight, I was like, damn. And then to find out, he's basically fighting with 50% of himself because he's only got one arm to fight with because the shoulder kept popping out. And then he said, my shoulder popped out maybe about 20 times since April, and we kept having to pop it back in during my training camp. I'm like, man, why the hell did he fight? Like, I'm just lost as to, like, why he did that. And it's, you know, I still respect TJ. I just, you know, and I'm definitely not going to be, like, on here bashing him. You see a lot of people bashing him on MMA Twitter right now. I saw someone say, like, you know, they should feed TJ Dillashaw to, like, the scariest bantamweight contender next or something like that. And I'm like, man, what the hell are y'all talking about? Like, with that guy, it's like, what? Like, people are weird, man. But anyways, Yeah, I don't know why he would do that. I mean, you put your own self in jeopardy. You know, you could have got really hurt in there, not going in prepared against a guy like Aljamain Sterling. And, you know, he finished you. And it's just, you got to know better than to do that. You know what I mean? You put yourself in jeopardy. And then you admitted it, too, that you held up the division. I mean, he said it in the interview. He goes, I feel like I held up the division. It's like, well, you did hold up the division because.
Exactly.
You, like, they could have got somebody else to fight. Like, if you weren't going to be 100%. It's like, did you really think that you were going to be able to beat Sterling without 100% of yourself? Like, did you really think that? Because if you thought that, like, clearly you way underestimated him. Aljamain Sterling is a very good fighter, man. Very good. And it's like, you're just naive. Like, to think that you could go in like that and win and really thought and really think you would be able to win the belt with in that physical state, it's just crazy to me. So I'm just, it is what it is, man. We're going to, you know, I'm already kind of moving on from it, but it's that, you know, that's definitely trash. You know, it's definitely trash that he went ahead and did that. I would have liked to see him, you know, admit he was injured and, you know, take care of his body and take care of his health and deal with that. And then let somebody else go in. Then you don't heal up the division, and he doesn't have to put himself, you know, in that position and put himself in a spot where now he just
– he's a gatekeeper.
I think – yeah, now, yeah, you just put yourself in a bad spot. I'm not going to go too far into it, but you put yourself in a bad spot in your career, and, you know, it probably didn't make your shoulder any better either to get taken down immediately and TKO'd. It probably didn't make you feel any better about yourself either, so – That's pretty rough, man.
All right, man. So enough on TJ, man. Hey, TJ, man, get well soon. I know there's plenty of fights for you ahead. You're still kind of young. You still possess some skills. Maybe if you get enough quality wins, you might get another shot at the title. But I just think at this point in time, the UFC probably don't trust you right now. So... you just going to have to build that trust up within the UFC. But, Keith, let's jump to the main event, man. Then we're gonna do some backtracking. Bro, I was so wrong about Islam. So wrong. I didn't think he could do anything better than Charles Oliveira in the octagon. I thought, if anything, they would probably be, you know how, like, when you race with somebody, they might beat you, but they only beat you by like a tenth of a second, you know, a photo finish. Man, Islam came in there and he dominated Charles Oliveira. I don't know what Charles' game plan was, or even if he had a game plan. He kept inviting Islam to come to the mat. Okay, you invite him to come down to the mat. Islam end up with 5 minutes of control time and end up putting you in an arm triangle that you didn't even try to defend because when you fell down, you left your arm susceptible to the arm triangle. And you, Charles Oliveira, being a submission practitioner, you should know how to defend against submissions. I just think Charles, man, I think he just had a bad day at the office. I don't want to overreact to the loss. I'm going to chalk it up as he had a bad day in the office, but Islam made it a bad day. And hats off to Islam. Great fight, great performance. Hey, Well done. Khabib said he would be the champ. Lo and behold, he the champ. So, hey, my hat's off to Islam. What was your thoughts? You said you predicted he would win. So, what are your thoughts?
And my prediction was dead on, too. I mean, I said...
Yep, dead on.
I said Islam by second round submission. I should have sent that to Vegas, bro. I would have made a lot of money on being, so, you know, being exact with that. second round submission. I wonder what the spread was on that. But yeah, so I had it. Told you, bro. I told you. I said Oliveira's talking about other fights. He's talking about Volkanovski. He's saying January he wants to move down. I told you. Told you. I was like, that's not good, man. He's gonna lose. He's gonna lose. And what happened? He got absolutely smoked. He got absolutely smoked. And I'm still a fan of him. Don't make it seem like a lot of people, you know, you see saying like, oh, like where's all the Oliveira fans? First of all, you have to call a spade a spade. Being a true fan is to be a fan, a supporter, a friend. You keep it 1,000 with that person. That's a true fan, and that's a true supporter, and that's a true friend. That response of being real is to me consistent with any of those scenarios, whether it's your boy or your family or your wife or someone you're a fan of or a sports team. You cannot say that's like me. You know, my Boston Celtics went to the finals last year, and then they dropped the ball. You know, Jason Tatum, you know, fell off in that last series. He was pretty much absent at a certain point. And what would I look like as a fan saying like, oh no, Jason Tatum, like, you know, he was balling out there. You know, he just had an injury. Or it's like, no, man, like you had a bad performance, and like that's just it. Like, and the better team beat you, and that's what it is. So you don't just say like, oh no, like, you know, I still love. It's not just about – you got to love them enough, and you got to be a fan enough to admit that they lost and why they lost. That's how anyone gets better at anything. You have to admit what the faults are and where the shortcomings stem from. You know, that's what a real fan does of anybody. So for Charles Oliveira, 100% I'm still a fan, and I actually hope that he hops on that January card in Rio. I really hope that he hops on that January card in Rio. I would love to see him on there. You know, I don't know who I would want to see him fight. I couldn't tell you yet at this time, but I'd love to see him on that January card. And I'm still going to be checking for his fights, and it don't matter whether he's a champ or not. But I'll say this. He got smoked in there. He got absolutely smoked.
Yeah.
He got absolutely outclassed by a better man. You know, if you asked me this 4 years ago, you know, I would have, you know, I was telling you that, you know, Khabib, you know, he this guy's going to beat him, and this is going to happen. But I'm not that guy anymore. You know, I've grown a lot and I've learned a lot, and I'm, you know, I take, you know, I'm much more objective with my calling of fights, and I'm understanding to know that you are not going to beat Islam. Like I told my boy, I said, if Islam wins, and this was before I changed my prediction to the second round submission. This was earlier on. I told my boy, who's like a Khabib fan, Islam fan, you know, I'm more of an Oliveira guy, but I told him, you know, and he knows I made my prediction after he knows I was dead on. But I told him, I said, look, I'm rooting for Oliveira, but look, if Islam wins, I will make no excuses. There will be no excuses, and he will have my respect. I told him that 100%. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to make counters to it. Nothing. There's going to be no shade, no excuses. He will have my respect 100%, and that's what he's gotten. I'm a fan of Islam now. Islam's rocking, bro. I'm a fan of Islam. You proved me. Well, I mean, technically, I was right, but I was wrong in the sense that I thought that Oliveira could hang with him, and he can't, you know, or he couldn't, I don't know. He can't overall. He probably can't overall, but at least on the night, for not, you know, we could say on the night he couldn't. I thought maybe he could. He could not, and what we all realized is that the gap between those two guys is much, much wider than what many of us thought, and we thought they were closer, and they are not really that close, and so yeah, that's what happened, and pretty much the same thing with Sterling and TJ. We thought that, you know, many of us that are fans of TJ thought, okay, TJ was, you know, 3-time champ, he holds all the records, this is arguably the bantamweight GOAT. You know, he can hang with Sterling, and what we found out was that, you know, injury or not, because we're not going to, you know, blame it on the injury. He still, the gap.
He made the wall.
He
made the wall.
Yeah,
so you got to judge him on the performance he put on in the octagon.
And that's it. You know, he chose to go in there with an injury, so we can't try to go back and say, oh, if TJ wasn't injured, blah, blah, blah. We can't say that because he went in there with the injury, and that's what it is. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, 100%. No, no, no. He could have went in there at 100% if he would have waited and then fought him at a later date. But he chose to go in at 50% or whatever. And regardless, I like what Sterling is saying right now. I saw him on, you know, Twitter earlier. You know, Sterling's going at a lot of the media for painting that narrative of like, oh, what if TJ was healthy and all this? And Sterling's going at them like, look, I don't think the outcome would have been different. And I respect Sterling for saying that. You know, firm stance, bro. Like, that's one of my mottos these days, firm stance. You know, anything you believe, you know, whatever helps you in life and you go by it, firm stance, you know. You have an opinion, firm stance, you know. And Sterling's taking a firm stance against the media right now. He's saying, you know, it wouldn't have changed the outcome. That takedown, getting taken down that early, I would have ended the fight regardless, and there's nothing he could have done about it. So, yo, props to Sterling, man. He smoked TJ. You know, that's just what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a fight where I was a fan of both guys, you know. I fan of TJ, and, you know, I've been a fan of Sterling. We've been talked about Sterling, and that's another guy since he was unranked. You know, we've been talking about Aljamain Sterling on the show since way back. We've been talking about him since before he got kicked
when he had the high top fade.
Yeah, he had the high top fade, and he used to wear the blue shorts.
Yep.
Man, he had the high top fade and he used to wear the blue shorts, man. When we were talking about him on the last show, I told you, I was like, I remember when Aljamain used to wear the blue shorts. And, bro, I went back and he did used to wear the blue shorts, bro. That was like 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Yep.
He used to wear the blue shorts, bro. I knew it. Like, and to the T, bro, I looked up an old picture of him and there he was with the blue shorts, bro. I remember that. Like, he wore the long blue shorts. Like, that was the signature, bro. Even in the UFC. And so I remember him, man, when he was unranked. I remember watching him, and I was like, yo, this dude's underrated. They're sleeping on this guy. I'm a fan now. And then now look at this. Now he's the champion, bro, and we're trying to figure out who the hell is going to stop this guy. You know what I mean? That's pretty much where we at now. That's where I'm at. Who can beat this guy? And I almost don't even know if I – like, I don't even know if I want him to lose. It's not that I want him to lose. I'm just saying that when you're looking at an objective point, because I'm happy to see him win. And I love to see him win. But in the spirit of competition and being a fan, I'm still contemplating, how do you beat this guy? Like, how do you stop this guy? And I'm thinking the same thing about Islam Makhachev right now. I'm like, how do you stop this guy? Like, you're going to have to be a hot – to beat either one of those guys, you have to be a wrestler, grappler. You cannot just be a BJJ guy. You cannot just be a striker. You cannot just be a kickboxer. You cannot just
be well around.
You know, a Taekwondo fighter, Muay Thai fighter. You cannot be any of that shit. You have to also be a wrestler and grappler or a straight wrestler and grappler. That's the only way you're going to beat either one of those guys. What do you think?
I'm with you. I think to beat Aljamain Sterling, you can't let him take you down. Your takedown defense has to be impeccable. And when you do get down, you have to be able to get back to your feet. I think Aljamain could be gotten in a stand-up fight where you force him to have to stand and bang with you. I think you could get him that way. As far as Islam, see, man, I really don't know whether or not he had a tough fight yet. I mean, Charles really didn't seem like Oliveira to me, and that may be because of Islam, but I haven't seen him in a tough fight, and maybe that's because he's that good, or maybe he's just been that much better than his competition. So, but I think the way to beat him, Islam, and I think you're going to have to take him into the fourth and fifth rounds because we haven't seen him fight championship rounds. And I want to see how he fare when you drag him into the deep water, whether or not his cardio would still be there, whether or not he could still be pushing a pace that he fight at in the fourth and fifth rounds. But that's the only way I see you beating him is can you make him put him in a fight, whereas when he take you down, you get back up. Whereas he take you down and you put pressure on him, whereas you could hit him. He hit you back, you hit him. He hit you back, and he's and you still there. How does he face that kind of opponent? So I think that's yet to be the same, but we're going to move into another fight that was in the same division, Keys, and we both picked Gonrock to beat Benil Dariush, man. And, boy, we were wrong on this one. Benil Dariush looked really, really good in this fight. He frustrated Gonrock like I haven't seen Gonrock frustrated before. Benil had a solid game plan. Tell me, what were your thoughts on the Benil Dariush Matheus Gonrock fight?
Yo, Benil, yeah, man, he showed both of us, man. I'll tell you that. I mean, we really doubted him, man. We underrated him, you know, and he made Gamrot look real bad, man. He made him look real bad. Like, Gamrot didn't even have, like, I can't even think of a moment that Gamrot had in that fight. Like, I don't even think he has a moment. Like, I don't remember anything. You know, he was just getting dominated, and there was nothing. So, so Dariush, like, pretty much stopped all of Gamrot's offense. Like, there really wasn't anything Gamrot could get going, you know, and it was so... It was a great performance by Dariush, man. I give him a lot of credit, you know. And I think that's the guy, man. You know, they keep talking about doing this Islam and Volkanovski fight, and I just think that's I want to see Islam and Dariush now, man. That's the fight I want to see. We were supposed to get it before, and you know it got canceled or whatever. I don't even know what happened. We were supposed to get it earlier this year.
Islam pulled out.
And then Islam ended up fighting. What happened? They both pulled out?
Islam pulled out.
All right, so Islam pulled out. So then Islam, you know, end up fighting. No, I think Dariush pulled out because then Islam ended up fighting Bobby Green, remember?
That's right. No.
Yeah, no, Dariush pulled out. Cause now I'm remembering. Yeah, Dariush had, like, an undisclosed injury or something.
Yeah, Dariush pulled out because Bobby Green ended up stepping in and getting absolutely mauled.
Yeah, so that was what happened. So Dariush pulled out, and then Islam, obviously, they end up having the title. So I worked out for Islam, and then Dariush, I think that was this one here was Dariush's first fight this year. I don't think he had fought in 2022 up until this one. So obviously he was down with injury. But anyways, I think you line them up. I think that's the next fight, bro, is Islam and Dariush. And a big reason why I say it, too, obviously Dariush is on like an 8 or 9 fight win streak, maybe even 10 at this point. So he's obviously got the win streak there. And, I mean, I just don't think there's another guy that can do anything with Islam. I really don't. I mean, these dudes are not going to beat him. I'm gonna have to ask this question, right? This is a question I want to know. This, like, can anyone give me an answer? So, if people say MMA math doesn't work, and okay, that sounds great, right? Sounds great, cool. But if Oliveira smoked all of those guys, and then Islam just smoked Oliveira. What makes you think that any of those guys that are 0-2 in title fights, 0-1 in lightweight title fight, what makes you think any of that crowd is going to be able to move, do anything with Islam? What makes you think that?
True.
Like, really? What,
true.
Like, guys, are, like, I see people on MMA Twitter, like, making up, like, shit, saying, like, the only guy, you know, these are the only two guys I think that could beat Islam, and it's like a picture of Mike Chandler and some other person, I forget who it was, and I'm like, I think it was Mike Chandler and Dariush, and I'm like, all right, Dariush, okay, cool. Mike Chandler, I'm like, where do you come up with that? Where do you come up with that? Like, what makes you think that Chandler can beat him? Really? I mean, Mike Chandler's one of my favorite dudes. Mike Chandler is one of my favorite dudes, man. Like, Mike Chandler, Oliveira, and Volkanovski are my three favorites. And I don't think any one of them can beat Islam. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, you think Dustin Poirier, who got smoked by Oliveira, you think Justin Gaethje, who got knocked out, he lost in his own game. He lost in the striking, which is his bread and butter, and then got choked out by Oliveira, I think in the first round. Wasn't it in the first round?
Yeah, I want to say
the hell
it was
the first. You guys think that that dude can beat Islam? Are you serious?
Yeah. But I'm with you, man. I think the fight to make is Benil versus Islam. I think Benil has done enough to earn a title shot. It was a fight the UFC had previously made, so what's wrong with making it again and having the title in the picture? And like you said, you know, Charles Oliveira fighting Brazil. Why not have Volkanovski have his first lightweight fight against Charles Oliveira and a title eliminator in Brazil so he can at least get one fight in at 155? I am sick of this narrative that he deserves a title shot because he cleaned out the 145 division. So what? He has never fought at 155. These guys are taller than him. They will most likely have a reach advantage on him. So, and they're used to carrying around the weight they're going to fight at, unlike him. So why would we give him an immediate title match instead of having him at least fight one fight at the new weight to see what he looked like? And I think that one fight, if they really think he's deserving of a title shot, put against him against the former number one contender. I mean, that's not asking too much, in my opinion, because Benil has done enough. He's on an 8-fight win streak. Why can't he get a shot at Islam? So put Volkanovski in a title eliminator against Charles Oliveira. You got the champ going against the former champ, and he gets to test his skills against one of the best in the world in that weight class. What's your thoughts on that, Keys?
I mean, yeah, no way, man. No. No way. I mean, you I don't even know. The more I think about it, man, I don't even know. Like, now that Islam's the champ, I don't even think I, like, want to see Volkanovski go to 155. Like, because I just don't see, like, what's the, like, the end goal that y'all want to see is not going to happen. So, like, I just don't even know if I'm interested in even seeing him do it. Like, it just seems like a waste of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you going to do? Like, so, because if you go there, and like you said, if, okay, have him take a fight or two fight, whatever it is, even if he does that, it's like, okay, you'll see these banger fights, like, or see if he loses, like, you know, who knows, like, what the difference will be. I mean, we saw how it was when Holloway went up to 155. His power didn't really translate like it does at 145. And we don't even know if he'd win, but even just say he does, it's like the end goal for him is to fight for the belt. You know, everyone wants to be a double champ these days, but is it really worth it? Like, do y'all really believe, say he goes in there and fights a Justin Gaethje or somebody like this and wins, the UFC is going to say,
I
don't fight for the title.
I say he loses. I say he loses against any of the top five guys in the weight division. I say he beats nobody in the top five. And I think if I'm Volkanovski and Volkanovski is trying to fight for the belt, the best way to go for the belt is what right now? Fight Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira just lost. Charles Oliveira lost to the champ. Charles Oliveira was a champ. He beat basically everybody in the top 10. He definitely beat everybody in the top five. So if you beat him, that gives you basically claim to a title shot, being that you are the title shot, you are the title holder in another division. But I want to see you fight in this weight class before giving you a title shot. And plus, Benil Dariush is more deserving than you. That's just the bottom line. Now, moving on. We go to the most controversial fight of the night. Petrion versus Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley earned a split decision win over Petrion. Me personally, I don't feel like O'Malley won the fight. I don't know how my man Keys felt about it. I know Keys predicted that Sean O'Malley would win the fight. Keys, how did you see that fight? And did you think O'Malley won the fight?
Nah, I was shocked by that decision. I definitely thought Petrion won. I mean, I guess a lot of people are like watching the fight back, and I guess I got to watch that fight back because, like I said too, I wouldn't say I was running on fumes, but I was like 50% of myself. I kind of felt like TJ, you know what I mean? I kind of was like TJ.
Man, you cold, man. That's cold-blooded, man.
Yo, I had to do it to him. Keys was kind of moving like TJ that day. I was half broken. So I'm watching the fight, and I think I got to watch it again because some people are, you know, saying that they see it differently after the live watch. You know, they're watching it back. But I also, like I said, I was like TJ. I was half broken, so – you know, I was kind of laid up while I was watching. I wasn't as locked in as I could have been. But I'll say this: I thought on that live watch, I thought Jan won the first and second round clear, and I had O'Malley winning the third round clear. So I thought it was 2-1 for Jan. So whatever math that is, what's that? 29-28. Yeah, I would have had. Yeah, so if you do that, I would have had it Petrion winning 29-28, and it didn't happen. So then I was shocked by that decision. I was very shocked, and a lot of people were saying robbery. I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna like call it a robbery. I'm just gonna say that I don't know. I am shocked, but I'm not gonna go ahead and call it a robbery. I don't really know if I want to use that word, but. And because people call a lot of shit a robbery too, and it's just like, and when you break it down, I mean, it's not like Sean O'Malley wasn't, it's not like he wasn't doing well in the fight. Like, it's not like he wasn't in the fight. Like, he was in, like, that was a close fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what could have been was maybe people had the first round closer, you know, and maybe people had. The second round clear for Jan, third round clear O'Malley like I had, and then they had the first round as their debatable round. Maybe that's where people maybe that's where the fight, you know. I don't know what I don't recall what the scorecards were.
28-29.
28-29. So 2 out of the 3 judges had O'Malley taking 2 rounds 10-9.
Yep.
But does it show which rounds? Was it the first and third
round?
No,
it don't show.
Does it show it?
I'm just looking at –
So I'm wondering which rounds they were calling, if they had different rounds or if the two judges – I'm wondering if they both picked the first and third round or if they're saying the second and third round because, I mean, the takedowns were there, bro. If you look at the fight, I mean, if you look at the stats, I would say that, I mean, if you look at the stats, it could appear to you that O'Malley outstruck him and that O'Malley won. It was winning in the stand-up. It would appear to you that it was that way. But I didn't think it was that way watching it live. But if you look at the numbers, it could appear to you that it was that way. But then if you also look at it, if you also look at the numbers, it would look like, okay, Jan dominated him on the mat. But I don't know if Jan dominated him on the mat because one thing that we always say, and I'm going to go back to a previous fight where you had the opposite stance. You technically had the opposite stance of what is being said now because what the narrative should be, right, what the narrative seems to be right now is – the takedowns. it's really people are kind of honing in on the takedowns and the control time that Jan had. Didn't Jan had like 5 or 6 minutes of control time, something around there.
Five minutes and 44 seconds.
Yeah, so I don't know how similar these fights are, but I know there are cases where we don't really. There have been fights where we didn't score. Oh, this guy had this many takedowns and this much control time. There have been fights where we have disregarded that because of the lack of activity, in the lack of advancement that happened from the point of the takedown on. Like, what did you really do with it?
True.
You know, basically.
True.
And one point. And me and you make that critique, you know, pretty often. We say, okay, he took him down.
Yep.
But what did he really do once he took him down? It's like, how valuable is the control time? You know, if you're not doing anything, like if you know, like, and that's one reason why I always like Curtis Blaydes, is because Curtis Blaydes is like, Curtis Blaydes.
Oh, he's gonna go for the knockout.
So Curtis Blaydes is gonna go like this. He's gonna go. I'm gonna take you down and smash you out. Or he's going to try to knock you out on the feet. But either way, he's like, if I'm taking you down, I'm landing strikes the whole time. He's like, I'm always going to try to do damage. I'm always going to try to finish you. He's going to try to ground and pound you out for sure. Or, and even if he doesn't, he's still going to land a lot of ground strikes. So even if he's not, he doesn't appear to be going for the finish, he's still doing damage and he's still working. So he's doing something with the top position once Curtis Blaydes takes you down. So that's why I always like Curtis Blaydes, because he's always active with his takedowns. He doesn't just sit on top of you and do nothing. So that's one critique that we have made before. And in a time where you made it, and I still haven't watched this fight to this day, but you one fight that you and if I bring it up, you might get a little bit mad, but when Henry Cejudo took the belt off Demetrius Johnson in their rematch.
Terrible.
Wasn't that
terrible.
Pretty much kind of like? Would you say that fight was comparable to this fight, or were they much different? Because I never saw that fight.
Actually, I wouldn't use a Cejudo Demetrius Johnson fight. I would probably say, because you didn't watch this fight, and I wish you did. The Murad versus Jose Aldo fight is more of a comparison to what me and you hate. Me and you hate man humping. We can't stand for somebody to just take somebody down and lay on them. That to me, that there is the worst. That man humping is terrible. But in this fight, Peter Yan was advancing his position. He was grounding and pounding. He was shooting for submissions. So he wasn't just taking O'Malley down just to be taking him down and laying on him. Because if he was doing that, then I was like, man, come on, man. Stand him up. But he was advancing his position. He was going for subs. He was punching. So I can't say he was man-humping O'Malley. But to answer your question, two of the judges had the fight. They gave rounds 1 and rounds 3 to O'Malley, and the other judge gave the first 2 rounds to Jan and the 3rd round to O'Malley. So it looks like what you said, the first round probably was the swing round in this fight. Like all the judges gave O'Malley the 3rd round, they gave Jan the 2nd round. So the first round was the swing round, but I know that me and you we don't like the man humping. I thought Jan did a good job in trying to advance. I thought he was doing good work on the mat, so I would support his takedown time. But I think one thing that the judges probably looked at in this decision, significant strikes, it was 84 to 58. And maybe the significant strikes, but if we being real, the judges don't even have a compu box where they know how many significant strikes a fighter land. This is something that the UFC and ESPN put up, you know, for people like us, so we want to look at, you know, the stats or whatever. But I didn't think O'Malley won the fight, but he did put on a hell of a show. He showed a lot of heart against a guy that was the former champ, and he showed me that he belonged. He belongs in this division, and that he's going to be a player in this division, but I don't think he deserves a title shot above Marlon Vera. Keith, you predicted this, and I'm so mad that you put this out in the universe. There's no Sean, no way Sean O'Malley should have went from number 12 to number 1. Please explain to me how he jumped Marlon Vera when Marlon Vera beat him and he beat a two-time bantamweight champion. Please explain to me how O'Malley is ranked number 1 in front of Marlon Vera. And please so don't think, say because he beat Peter Yan.
Nah, so I think – so here's the thing. So I think what happened – so they have – him going up 10 spots is pretty wild to me. That is pretty wild. You know, I can't – I'm not going to – like I was kind of shocked that they did that. Like when I looked at it – because I looked at it – because they usually do the – you know, everyone's always asking Dana White the night of the fight, like the post-fight interview, like, oh, who's this one going to fight? And he's like, you know, Dana White's always like, look, I don't make fights on the night of the fights. Like, you guys want me to match make, like, you know, 30 minutes after the main event just ended. It's like, I don't do that. We're going to meet on Tuesday. They always meet on Tuesdays for the matchmaking meetings, and that's when the rankings come out. I think the rankings on Tuesday night, or was it Monday night? No, it was Monday night. So, I think they might – I think the rankings – they must submit the rankings, like, Monday, and then it goes through on Tuesday, and then Tuesday is the matchmaking meeting, and then you start hearing about shit. So Monday night I was looking for it, and it was about midnight, 1 a.m., like, I think it was a little after midnight, I saw someone post a picture of him climbing 10 spots, and that was from some other TSN or some website, and then I waited for it to go official on UFC.com, and about an hour later, 1 a.m., I looked it up again. I looked at UFC.com, and there it was. He moved up 10 spots. I'm like, yo, what the hell? So that's pretty wild to me. I don't know about him doing 10 spots. I get the point of, like, a guy – I get it on the front of the guy that's in that spot. You can take his spot. I get that part of it. But at the same time, to go from number 11 to number 1, though, like – that just almost seems like they kind of just wanted to, like, propel him into the title picture. You know what I'm saying? Like, they wanted to just put him right there, and it made sense for business. So and so I think the fix for that is this. So I think the fix now is, because I already heard that they're not working on Aljamain Sterling versus Sean O'Malley. I'm hearing that they're working on the fight that I was calling for. You know, Monday, Tuesday, right away I was calling for this because I knew. I was like, yo, this is the guy you need to bring out now. This is the guy. Because Aljamain Sterling's just going to wash everybody. You know, these dudes, you know, he's just going to beat everybody. So I was like, this is the guy you bring out. It's time. Henry Cejudo. You got to bring Henry Cejudo back out. You know, and I've had my criticisms of him, obviously, on the show. We've had our criticisms, both of us, I'm pretty sure. But I was a fan of Cejudo. When I was a fan of him, what it was when he was an active fighter. I was a fan of Cejudo when he was just into fighting and he wanted to fight guys. When I started to criticize him was not really during that period. I wanted to. It was more when he became all bark and no bite. That was the point. He kind of started becoming like a McGregor, you know, where McGregor's always just kind of tweeting in the background and saying, you know, after a fight, like, oh, da-da-da, you know, I'll fight this guy, I'll knock him out, and then never doing shit. You know, that was when I started to Cejudo a little bit, because he became like that. Like, oh, all bark and no bite. I don't like when guys get like that. It's like, how would you get in there and fight? You know what I mean? How would you do something? Because these guys are actually putting it on the line. How are you going to stand there and criticize a guy for losing to a guy, and then you saying, oh, I could beat both of them, and you're not even in there? Where's the rumor for your fight? You know what I mean? That thing irritates me so much. But I like that, you know, the idea of Cejudo coming back. Okay, lock in. He got back in the testing pool. Here we go. Now I'm a fan again. I say now's the time. You bring Henry Cejudo out. They're working on Sterling versus Cejudo for, I think, I forget what month, maybe March. And
February 24th.
I think February 24th. So I love that fight. I think that's the fight to make. You got to bring Cejudo out because you need to have a guy that can wrestle to fight Aljamain Sterling. You cannot, because to say, to stop the takedown, it's easy to say that, you know, versus a guy that wants to take you down. Like, it's easy to just say, okay, well, if they can stop the takedown. I feel like we've said that so many times, if they can stop the takedown. But that's a tall ask, you know what I mean? That's a hard ask to just, like, say, oh, just, you know, defend all the takedowns and just, like, beat them on the feet. It's hard to do that versus a guy who he wants to wrestle you. You know what I mean? It's going to be hard. A high-level wrestler is not going to let you just defend all the takedowns. It's going to be very hard to do that. So in place of that, you need someone who's going to be able to wrestle and deal with that. And that's Cejudo. You need to bring him in there. This is time. So, and I think because now O'Malley jumped 10 spots and we're all shocked by that. I think while that happens, I think they have positioned this perfectly to do the number one versus the number four ranked. You do the rematch. This is the time you do it. And you maybe even do it on the same card. You might even do it on the same card. So you go Aljamain Sterling. So this is perfect. So what you're saying gets an answer too, because now it's like, okay, how is O'Malley ranked above Marlon Vera when Marlon Vera beat him? So I don't have that answer. I don't have that answer. I don't know. I don't have that answer. And I usually have every answer, you know. I don't know. But shout out to DJ Khaled. But, yeah, I don't know. But I think that one other, you know, side thing that you could do to contest that, right, is you do Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Vera 2 and possibly even do it on the same card. That's how you figure that out. And then either way, you have a big fight. And then, either way, you have a big fight. Because we just recently saw Cejudo talking trash to Sean O'Malley at that one interview. And now, look how much that is starting to pan out. That kind of makes sense. So they have a little, you know, back and forth. You can kind of play off that. You know, and then they have that little thing right there. So O'Malley versus Cejudo would be a massive fight. If Cejudo versus O'Malley, or even Cejudo versus Marlon Vera, you know, it's another fight. Or Sterling versus O'Malley. Whichever way you play that out, you have a great fight, you know. So that's what I think, bro. That's how you go with it.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I think you have to – Henry Cejudo is definitely the fight to make with Aljamain Sterling. I like that fight. The fight should be a banger. You got two technical guys in there, two guys that can go at it on the mat. I'm with you. I was a Cejudo fan until he became Henry Cringe worthy. So, you know, I was like, man, this dude's a clown. But, yeah, I will put O'Malley versus Vera on the same card as that one. And you automatically have your stand-in just in case something happens. Maybe you have no flip a coin or who gets to go in there and fight for the belt. Or you just take, the highest-ranking guy is Sean O'Malley, which makes no sense to me. But that's the way I would go with it. The UFC is funny, Keys. Dana White on Friday said the winner of the O'Malley-Petey Yan fight would get a title shot. That's what he said. So when O'Malley won, he jumped mysteriously 11 spots. Why is that? That's because the UFC, that's their way of justifying him getting a title shot, because Dana White said the winner will get a title shot. When we all know nobody has ever made that kind of historic jump ever in the rankings. You went from outside the top 10 to number one. Nah, man. They did that support what Dana White said on Friday. And just because Dana White said the winner would get a title shot, that don't mean you give O'Malley number one. You could have moved him up probably within maybe number five, number six, you know, something like that. But to move him ahead of Marlon Vera and to be number one was just, that's just ludicrous to me. I know we out of time, but I got to ask you one more question because I need you to speak on this, because you have supported this guy the most. Anybody that talked UFC, I don't care what nobody say, Keys has been talking this guy up for the longest. Bilal Muhammad. Man, this guy, man, he just makes you, he makes you be a fan of his, man. His fighting style, you know, I can't remember who he called out. I can't remember who he called out after he won, because I was, like, cooking at the time. But I think it was a quality call out. But, Keith, talk about Bilal Muhammad before we get out here, man.
I haven't seen his fight yet, bro. I haven't seen this because I missed the sound break. So,
I
can't speak
the
on
fight.
The fight. Yeah, so the first fight that I saw was Shuk Hagen and Fiorot.
That's right.
I'm kind of pissed because I was on my way to my boy's crib while that his fight, like, it had just started, like, and I was probably way there or whatever. And then I had a stop, and then I was stopping at Dunk's. I was stopping at Dunkin' Donuts to grab, you know, a whole bunch of food my boy ordered for me, you know, held me down because he knew I was definitely hungover. And
That's all right. Basically, next week I had three more things I wanted to talk about, but I'll save it to next week. And we definitely going to talk about Bilal Muhammad next week. And
So next week we'll talk about it because I plan on watching his performance, you know, in between that now and then, and so we can definitely do it. And then. Or I'll have at least watched the highlights by then. If not, I mean, I know it's only like a round and a half or a two-round fight, but, yeah, I think I'm going to have watched the fight by then. If not, I'll at least watch, you know, enough to talk. And so, and I will say this, and this is what I'll leave on, is y'all got to stop hating on Bilal, man, because y'all just like to hate on him for no reason. You don't even know why you hate on him. That's the crazy part. You can't even tell me why you hate on him. You know what I'm saying? Is it like... I'm not going to try to suggest what the reasons are, but, like, I don't even think you know what the reasons are, so I'll just say that. And I'm proud. I said it the other day. I'm damn proud of that, you know, he's risen up to this point that he's at. He's, like, the number four, number five, maybe even number three contender now. I think he might be the number three. And it's like, man, him and Sterling, like, I remember both of those guys, man. But I'm more proud, like, I'm proud of both of them, but I'm damn proud of Bilal, man, because just the fact that, I don't know, I just feel like people slept on him a lot, you know? Like, Sterling, like he was slept on, but then once he started to win, like, I think a lot of people knew that he was good, and, like, he started to get, like, more belief, like, the public's belief. But I feel like Bilal, like, this dude's all the way in the top five, and people are still doubting him, still hating on him, and it's, like, not giving him his due, you know what I mean? It's just, like... What the hell is going on, man? Like, once Sterling got up there, like, people weren't really doubting him, you know what I'm saying? Like, people were still like, okay, this guy's really good, you know? But, like, maybe he loses to Peter Yan, but he's still really, like, he's one of the best guys. You don't see people saying that for Bilal, you know? You see people hating on him, you know? It's like, I just think that's ridiculous. So, I'm damn proud of how far Bilal has risen up, man. I remember watching him from, you know, years and years ago I was watching him, so. Shout out to Bilal Muhammad, man. And he just beat one of the only undefeated guys left in his division. You know, you have Sean Brady, Shavkat, and Khamzat. So he just took out one of those O's that's in the division, and he wanted to fight Khamzat. So be it, man. Whatever it is, you know, let Bilal fight one of these guys. Let him fight Khamzat or let him fight Kobe Covington. You know, let him get a big fight next. You know, I think he deserves it.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, man. But I saw some things on Twitter why people don't like him, and it had nothing to do with him being a good fighter. It has a lot to do with his stance on the United States. I guess he thinks very badly of the United States, and people was basically saying, you know, that he talks bad about the United States, but a United States organization is paying him So, you know, and, you know, Americans be kind of, you know, we can be kind of sensitive when you talk about our country or whatever. But at the same time, is one thing about our country is you got the freedom of speech. And everybody not going to agree on everything. So, you know, be it right or be it wrong, the man has an opinion. So, but as far as his fighting, the dude is very skilled. He's doing it the right way. He's fighting everybody they put in front of him. And me and Keys, I'm going to let Keys go ahead and watch the fight this week. And then when we come back next Wednesday, me and him going to talk about my other question. Because I got three more things I want to talk about tonight. Because I've been so fired up since the card Saturday that, you know, I just wanted to, like, get something off my chest. And, you know, we covered everything about UFC 280. It's probably one of our best follow-up shows to an event that we done had in a long time. But any last words, Keith?
Nah, nothing, man. Just thank y'all for listening. Appreciate y'all. And that's all I got, man. The floor is yours.
All right. I know my man Keys don't like to go over. Sorry we went over tonight. Everybody have a good weekend. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Like always, Lee and Keys. So, I got to do my little catch line. You only get one life to live. Live it to the fullest. You know, ride it till the wheels fall off. Lee and Keys signing off as always. Lee and the show with a peace.